W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. W5 ACM. Audio's a little weak there.
BL-123.
W5BSA. We're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0. And new thing tonight here, thanks to Joe, we're now connected to the 442.5 repeater. So first of all, we're going to be able to take check-ins there tonight also. But first of all, let's take check-ins on the 145.19 repeater. So any local check-ins coming out?
Whiskey, Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5JRD, Carl, Jersey Village, good evening.
K5WH, Walter in Northwest Houston.
Okay, very good. We got Joe, W5BSA, and he's our control operator there of the repeaters. And then we've got Carl, WD5JRD in Jersey Village. Good evening, Carl. And then hello also to Walter, K5WH in Northwest Houston. Do we have anybody else? Okay, at this time, we're going to take check-ins off of the 442.5 and any connected repeaters along the way there. So, any check-ins off the 442.5 or any other connected repeaters besides the 145.19 repeater, come now. A new connection there, and so word's going to be getting out, and we're on DMR and Fusion, all these other things there, thanks to Joe and Walter. So we appreciate that. But okay, we're going to start with a little bit of information from the South Texas Blue launch team. We have had some updates, including there was another launch today, but looks like a couple of the balloons that were launched from the Greater Houston Ham Fest are still up there doing nicely. So we appreciate the update there from Walter, K5WH. Okay, looks like he had a balloon launch today, K5WH-15, or let's see, this is BLT-148. And kind of looks like it went down towards Galveston off the coast going that direction. So we'll be definitely keeping an eye on that and seeing where that heads up. We've got BLT-145. Looks like just past Africa, sort of going over there into the Middle East. And then BLT-140, the KG5BBF balloon, not too far behind it there in Africa. And then looks like we also had the AB5SS-143 balloon, and that's just going into Europe. So just looks like it's going to be heading into Germany there probably. And just north of France, and that looks like it made landfall. Okay, well, we're glad to see all that BLT action going on, and I appreciate Walter K5WH continuing to make those happen. And, of course, they do their monthly meeting, and that's on the second Wednesday of the month. And usually a local restaurant here at 4:30 p.m. And then they have a Zoom meeting that takes place at 8 p.m. And that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So if you'd like to find out what the South Texas Balloon Launch Team is up to, check it over there and you can find out. So appreciate that coming from Walter, K5WH. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. I want to remind everybody, you can call and check into the net by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can also make a APRS message there to WV5Y or West Virginia 5 Yankee with no dashes and no numbers, like Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to WV5Y@comcast.net. Okay, we got to try to remember to keep things rather brief here so we don't time out any of the machines there. So we'll be working on that, but we're going to switch gears now here over to the AMSAT News Service Bulletins. And this is bulletin number 82 from Mark Johns, K0JM, is this week's editor. The AMSAT News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And you can go over to www.amsat.org, and the news feed publishes news to amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. Okay, you can also sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Yes, that link hasn't changed in many years. Okay, and also the AMSAT News Service bulletins, the latest ones, are available from the front page of the AMSAT.org website. All right, the January-February 2025 issue of the AMSAT Journal is now available, and that's to members on AMSAT's member portal. The AMSAT Journal is a bi-monthly digital magazine for amateur radio and space enthusiasts and is published by the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, AMSAT. Each issue of the journal is your source for hardware and software projects, technical tips, STEM initiatives, operational activities, and news from around the world. Okay, a little insight here into the current issue. We've got the Apogee View, which is Robert Bankston, KE4AL, the president, his current status and ideas. We've got engineering updates, the AMSAT News Service. We've got Mitigating and Monitoring Space Traffic and Debris by Joe Kornowski, KB6IGK. Okay, then there's Transceivers for Satellite Operation by Keith Baker, KB1SF/VA3KSF. New England SciTech Updates. AMSAT TLE Bulletins by R.J. Fitzgerald, N1BGA, and Determination of Spacecraft Orbital Elements from In-Flight GNSS Measurements by Joseph DeVerdi, Ph.D., MBA, K0NMR, and SpaceX launches HAMSATs on the rideshare mission from the AMSAT News Service.
DL-123.
Okay, AMSAT members may access the issue and a library of back issues of the journal by logging into their member account at launch.amsat.org/sys/login. Non-members may join AMSAT at launch.amsat.org/membership. We got a quick check in there off the phone line, and that was from Vern CR. He's over there in Wentzville, Missouri. And of course, thanks to him, you hear our net on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say. And that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate Vern putting us on the top band on Saturday nights on AM. Okay, let's see here. That last information came from AMSAT, so we want to thank them. And also, the 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins have just arrived, celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight. And you can help support Golf and Fox Plus, and just go join the AMSAT President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space, and that's at www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. All right, we got a check-in earlier from Andrew, KC5LWI. Of course, he won that nifty Yaesu dual-band mobile from the Houston Hamfest. And said he checked in on the phone line there earlier today and told me he's got MMSS TV all downloaded and getting things all figured out. And it looks like it could be just in time because... looks like there's some FRAM to HAM SSTV transmissions that are being planned. So you may be able to use that thing and actually copy some SSTV pictures. Okay, astronaut and radio amateur, Rava Rogue, LB9NJ/KD3AID will be transmitting amateur radio slow scan TV images from space during the SpaceX FRAM 2 mission planned for launch on March the 31st. The FRAM 2 mission is set to become human space flight in polar orbit, flying over the North and South Poles. Named after the famous polar exploration ship FRAM, which completed voyages to both the Arctic and Antarctica, the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will launch 4 astronauts from Europe and Australia into orbit for 3 to 5 days. During the FRAM 2 mission, Rady Rogue, LB9NJ from Norway, and KD3AID from the USA will be operating the onboard amateur or ham radio system, sending SSTV images as part of a high school and university student competition. These SSTV images will also be available to be received by the general public during the mission. The International Space Station simulated the FRAM 2 SSTV mode TV-120 transmissions from February the 13th to the 17th on 437.550 MHz FM to enable people to gain proficiency in receiving the signals before the mission. FRAM to HAM is an experimental radio competition open to high school and university ages. Rogue will send pictures of 3 geographical locations via an onboard ham radio, but here's the twist. They'll be cut into pieces and mixed up. Participants will receive only fragments of the locations and need to guess where on earth they are and what their role in polar history was. While anyone can receive the pictures, forming an international team may help you solve the puzzle. There are several challenges, like low transmit power, variations of antenna orientation, and a short 3-day mission duration with only a limited time assigned for the SSTV operation. These challenges require operating proficiency and the use of the best attainable radio station, and the simulation shall give the possibility to exercise this. For more information on the FRAM-2 mission and for youth organizations interested in participating in the FRAM-2-HAM SSTV competition, you can just go over to the website, FRAM2HAM.com, FRAM2HAM.com. And the first human space flight to Earth's polar regions, you can find that FOX2.com. So it's F2.com. And then FRAM2HAM on Discord. Okay, for Discord, we've got discord.com/invite/GYQZM5SP. Okay, and you can find competition details over at framtoham.com/wp-content/uploads/2025/02/AMAPAY_user_manual-VER-2-7-2025.pdf. And, of course, these URLs are available over at amsatnet.com, thanks to Bruce, KK5DO. So you can just click on the link there on the front page and open up the document and click right on the links if you'd like to check out any of these links that we discuss. So we want to thank AmSat UK and FRAM2HAM for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Well, we're, let's see, a little bit past quarter past the hour, but we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to see if we have any check-ins via our other means here that we have. Okay, yeah, we did hear from Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston. We got him checked in. We also heard from Charlie, K5ENG, so sounds like he's doing good over there, so glad to hear that, and glad to have him checked in there off the phone lines. Of course, he's over there in West Houston. We've got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate that. We have had to use it in the past.
DL-123.
Okay, yeah, we heard from Vern during the net, WA0RCR in Winsville, Missouri. Of course, he transmits our net on 1.860 megahertz on AM on 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. We appreciate that. And we also heard from Kai over there in McKinleyville, California. And he's one of our podcast listeners, and he calls and checks in usually on Wednesdays, so we appreciate that. And let's see, from APRS. Looks like we don't have any APRS check-ins. It's been a while since we've gotten one. Let's see, from IRC, the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and KAWX, Bob. And we got a yellow Marty from Clay. So glad to see you're doing good over there, Clay. And hey, Clay, back to you. All right. Okay, we got check-ins here from Echolink. And we got Bob, K9OIM, and Steve, K85YFC. Good evening to them this week. We've got Mitch, 80HJ. He's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to him, there's the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR and all these other places, like on the 442.5 repeater here in Houston, on YSF Fusion in Talk Group 11689. Let's see, the DMR AmSat group is 98006, and that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. So we appreciate Mitch doing that for us. Okay, we've got Indoff, N6UTC. He's over there in Long Beach, California. Good evening to Indoff. And hello to Damien, AG9P. He's over there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And also, hello to Dave, WB7DRU. He's over there in Howard Lake, Minnesota. And, of course, he's been connecting to us back since the days when we were connected up to Minneapolis via a phone link and a phone line. So that's been a while. Okay, this is Marty WV5Y and the Houston AmSatNet. Looks like we got these EchoLink folks here checked in, and let's see. So we're going to take another quick standby here, and let's see, we're almost at half past the hour, so let's go ahead and take a standby and see, do we have any local check-ins on the 145.19 repeater or the 442.5 repeater or any of the other linked repeaters?
MDO, Larry in Brookshire.
Okay, KJ5FDO, Larry over there in Brookshire. Welcome aboard. Do we have anybody else? Well, this is Marty WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? Well, you can purchase an M-Squared LEO pack from the AmSat store. And when you purchase through AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And there's rumors they give you a little bit of a discount there as well. And that's over at amsat.org/product-category/hardware. So be sure and check that out. Okay, we've got the Alba Orbital that assists with AmSat EA with the Hades ICM project. And that's Alba Orbital from the UK, USA, and Germany. It's the world's leading pocket cube company, and it's delivered 53 Pico satellites on orbit to date. Okay, these include 5 pocket cube satellites from 3 different countries recently flown on board SpaceX's Transporter 13 rideshare mission. The The satellites were integrated into Rocket Cube Deployer, AlbaPod, at their new facilities in Hillington Industrial Estate, Glasgow, the world's first Pocket Cube factory. After integration, the cluster of pocket-sized satellites were shipped out to SpaceX and then hitched their ride to low Earth orbit. Pocket Cubes are highly miniaturized satellites, typically 5 centimeter cubed per unit, that can be launched to orbit for as little as 25K euros via Alba Orbital's rideshare services. Pocket Cubes are cost-effective, quicker to build, and provide versatile options for a variety of missions that range from educational projects to advanced technological demonstrations. Hades ICM from AMSAT EA, which is AMSAT Spain, a 1.5P pocket cube. The small sat, is carrying an open voice transponder for the radio amateur community. It will be operated by the nonprofit organization AMSAT EA. Pocket Cube includes the UK-based Smart IRs technology experiment that will be conducted on orbit, as well as an IC Mercury experiment. Inspiring space sustainability text messages that will be broadcasted periodically by Hades ICM. Okay, we want to thank Alba Orbital for that information. This is Marty, WV5Y, with the Houston AMSAT Net. Firefly's Blue Ghost Lander photographs an eclipse from the moon. Firefly's Blue Ghost Lunar Lander snapped a gorgeous photo of a solar eclipse from the moon, in which Earth covers up most of the Sun, leaving only the so-called diamond ring effect. The lander snapped the photo at around 0530 Zulu on Friday, March the 14th, as the Earth slowly blocked the view of the Sun. Solar eclipse on the Moon occurred at the same time as the total lunar eclipse here on Earth. Terrestrial viewers saw the lunar surface turn a red hue. Mare Crisium. Firefly released another image from the earlier part of the eclipse that shows the lander's solar panel as the sun starts to hide behind Earth's shadow. Firefly's Blue Ghost Lander was launched on January the 15th and successfully touched down on the moon on Sunday, March the 2nd at around 0730 Zulu. It landed upright with no issues, unlike the Intuitive Machines Lander, which toppled over on landing on March the 6th.
BL-123.
This is Firefly's first mission to the moon, so Blue Ghost is packed with 10 NASA instruments designed to probe the lunar surface and gather data to hopefully support upcoming human missions to the natural satellite. This is all part of NASA's Commercial Lunar Payload Services, or the CLPS, initiative. It was a short flight, says not long after sunset at the end of the lunar day on March the 16th, 2025. The lander's batteries were depleted, communications were lost, and the spacecraft mission was officially declared ended at 2325 Zulu. But we want to thank Engadget for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. You can get your AmSat removed before flight key tags. They are now available, and yes, they are the real thing. They're nifty looking, nice red with white lettering and the AmSat logo. And be sure and pick these things up, and you know, you will have stuff that, you know, will not be ready to go up. Okay, your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It includes the first class postage, but that's, only U.S. addresses only. You can order today by going to amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. And, they had some over there at the Greater Houston Ham Fest. We got to take a look at them and wonder, you know, what they got pulled off of. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. We do have, we don't have any additions or deletions to the AmSat TLE distribution this week, but two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just simply KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. If you just perform weekly updates to your KEP files, that's completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and new bulletin files will be posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And you can find more info over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian/elements/resources. Okay, in an effort to minimize confusion between sources of two-line element sets, AmSat is adopting the convention of listing the USSF/NORAD satellite catalog name first, followed by a name in parentheses that we usually refer to it by, the name that we know it as. And I don't think that's a big change. I think they just switched them around. So we'll just hang on, and we'll wait till this change is fully implemented. But this week there are no additions or deletions to the AmSat TLE distribution. So we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AmSat Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. We're down to ARIS News. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. And the downlink frequency on which to listen in, it's on 145.800 MHz worldwide. All right, looks like they've got a bunch of contacts scheduled now. So that's always good news. Looks like one of them has already even happened. And that's the Canadian Elementary School, Maple Bear, Sofia, Bulgaria. They had a contact direct via LZ1 cable. Okay, the ISS call sign that was scheduled was OR4ISS, and they contacted crew member John Petit, KB5MBT. And the ARS Mentor was IN3GHC, and the contact 324-2025 at 1423-27 UTC, and it was at a 42-degree elevation. Okay, and then contacts upcoming, we've got the Amur State University in Bangladesh, Russia, as direct. The ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS, and the crew member is Alexei Ovchinin, and the ARIS mentor is RV3DR. Contact is go for Thursday, 327-2025 at 0900 UTC. Okay, we've got the Yonezawa 5th Junior High School in Yonezawa, direct via 8N7Y5JH. That's an interesting call sign. The ISS call sign is presently scheduled via OR4ISS. The crew member, John Petit, KB5MDT, and the ARIS mentor, 7M3TJZ. Okay, let's see, this contact is Friday, 328-2025 at 095600 UTC with only a 30-degree elevation. Okay, then there's the Aznakovsky District of the Republic of Tatarstan, Russia. And they've got an ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. And the ARIS mentor is RV3DR. The contact is Friday, 328-2025 at 1250 UTC. Alright, we've got the City of St. Petersburg School in St. Petersburg, Russia, and their ISS call sign will be RS0ISS with crew member Alexei Ovchinin, and the ARIS mentor is RV3DR. The contact is 43-2025 at 1245 UTC. Okay, then we got one more. This is the Ufa City School in Ufa, Russia. And their ISS call sign is going to be RS0ISS with crew member Ivan Wagner. And the mentor is RV3D. Contact is 44-2025 at 1025 UTC. I want to say congratulations and welcome home to Sunita Williams, KDP. She is done 92 events with 78 contacts, and she has the lead at the moment. Okay, see, I said she'd been pretty active last week, and I was right. Okay, up on the ISS, the crossband repeater continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67. And then you listen on the downlink, that's on 437.800 megahertz down. And if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen, you just never know. And the packet system is also active. It's on 145.825 megahertz up and down.
DL-123.
Okay, they've got Ham TV on the International Space Station. It's on 2395.00 megahertz downlink, and it is currently stowed. As always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And note that all times are approximate, since we don't know exactly where you are, so it's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. The latest information on the operation mode can be found. That's at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. Okay, you can find the latest list of frequencies in use over on the ISS, and that's at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we will thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, Operation Team Mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. Let's see, upcoming satellite operations, looks like there's none listed currently at this time, but a growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations on hams.at, and by visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, good old hams.at will give you the ability to assess the max score between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to identify the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. And we want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. All right, we've got AmSat Ambassador Activities. AmSat Ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, handfests, conventions, maker fairs, and other events. All right, we've got a nice big picture of AmSat Ambassador Mitch Ehrensdorf, AD0HJ, and Houston, the AmSat News Service Weekly Bulletin editor that he is, and he's speaking with an interested attendee at the Midwinter Madness Hamfest in Buffalo, Minnesota, and that was on Saturday, March the 22nd. So if you want to see what Mitch looks like, check out the AmSat News Service Weekly Bulletin for March the 23rd. Okay, let's see. It looks like Mitch had Ambassadors Paul Overn, KE0PDR, and Mark Johns, K0JM, were also kept busy at the table during the event. That explains why we got a nice picture there from K0JM. Okay, some other activities that we've got coming up here. We've got the March 27th, 2025, the AmSat Update and Info, West Fork Amateur Radio Club, the Paradise Fire Department, and that's at 303 Main Street in Paradise, Texas. So you should see W5ITR hosting some AmSat stuff there. And you can go for more information, check out WFARC.org. And that's William Foxtrot Alpha Radio Charlie.org. Okay, we've got, let's see, April 4th through the 5th, 2025, the Southeastern VHF Conference 2025 at the Quality Inn, and that's at 3095 Wilma Rudolph Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee, 37040, and W4FCL there. Okay, we can't forget about RARS Fest. And that's April the 5th, 2025. The Jim Graham Building, the North Carolina State Fairgrounds. The Youth Center Drive, Gate 5 in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hopefully all the flyers are staying far away from there. And you can go look at www.rarsfest.org/index.php. And you should see several folks hosting AMSAT stuff there, like K4EB, M4AEW, W1BCM, KK4HG, and M4HF. Okay, we can't forget then, we've got the big convention that's kind of be coming up also, and that's May 16th to the 18th, 2025 this year, and that's the Dayton Hamvention, and that's the Greene County Fair and Expo Center at 210 Fairground Road, Xenia, Ohio, and that's at hamvention.org, and we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCF AMSAT Ambassador Program, for all that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5 AMSAT.net. Once again, thanks to Bruce. You can follow along with any of our topics by going over to AMSAT.net.com, which is our website. And then you can also find award information, since Bruce is the AMSAT award guy. So he's got information up there on how you can get awards or certificates for making satellite contacts. And you can start with just the first one. You make one satellite contact, and you can get a certificate. So look for that info over there. Once again, that's at AMSATnet.com, our website. But then there's plenty more over at AMSAT.org. And you can also find information on the status of the satellites, the frequencies that they're operating on. There's information about this year's symposium, where it's going to be, and getting things lined up for that there at the end of October. And then there's the store. You can buy satellite antennas, and that's go check out www.amsat.org. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. The four members of the Crew 9 mission, being Nick Haig, KG5TMV, Sunita Williams, KD5PLV, Barry Butch Wilmore, and Roscosmos Cosmonaut Alexander Gorbunov, splashed down in the Gulf near Tallahassee, Florida, shortly before 2200 UTC on Tuesday, March the 18th. Haig and Gorbunov launched to the ISS on board the Dragon Freedom spacecraft in September of 2024 and returned to Earth after logging 171 total days in space. Their colleagues, Williams and Wilmore, returned to Earth with 286 days in space after originally arriving at the space station on board the Boeing CST-100 Starliner spacecraft, launched on June the 5th, 2024.
L123.
Prior to the departure of Starliner, two extra seats were created inside Dragon Endeavor, which so that in the case of an emergency, Williams and Wilmore would have a way to return home. Thus, they were never actually stranded in space, as some media have reported. But we want to say thanks to Spaceflight Now for that information. The National Reconnaissance Office, the NRO, annual conference will be held October 21st through the 23rd, 2025. NRO brings together the best in academia and the private sector to keep America at the forefront of space-based intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance technology. Abstracts for paper presentations at the conference. Previous topics included quantum technologies, artificial intelligence, advanced manufacturing, remote sensing, microelectronics, RF technologies, space situational awareness, and other enabling technologies. Abstract deadline is April 18th, 2025. Okay, you can see www.nro.gov/SRL for details. And we want to thank David Fine, WA1EAW, for that information. Researchers have broken a distance record in quantum communication by sending a secret encryption key nearly 13,000 kilometers from China to South Africa using a cheap, lightweight microsatellite. The satellite was able to send pulses of laser light put into special quantum states from a rooftop in Beijing to another at Stellenbosch University near Cape Town. The pulses formed a quantum key that was used to encrypt two images, one of China's Great Wall and one showing part of Stellenbosch's campus. The feed, a kind of encryption known as quantum key distribution, or QKD, is a step towards being able to send ultra-secure messages between any two locations, however distant. And we want to thank Nature.com for that information. Increasing threat from space debris calls for both higher maneuverability in orbit and a reduction in the amount of junk. British startup MagDrive claims it can help with both via a new propulsion system for spacecraft that will launch into space for the first time later this year and will be fueled by solid metal. The first incarnation of the MagDrive system, called Warlock, is set to launch into orbit in June of 2025. It works by creating power using onboard solar panels to ionize metal. Once detonated, the metal is turned into extremely hot and dense plasma or electrically charged gas. For now, the system is not refuelable. In the more distant future, however, the system could obtain its fuel from existing space junk by harvesting dead satellites for metal to use as propellant. Okay, we want to thank CNN Science for that information. In the next few months, from its perch atop a mountain in Chile, the Versa C Rubin Observatory will begin surveying the cosmos with the largest camera ever built.
that the rising number of satellites in orbit can be a problem for scientists because the satellites interfere with ground-based astronomical observations by creating bright streaks on images and electromagnetic interference with radio telescopes. Until recently, astronomers had no centralized reference for tracking satellites. Now, the International Astronomical Union, the IAU, has a virtual center for the protection of the dark and quiet satellite constellation interference, CPS, which serves as an information hub.